Welcome to Verse by Verse, an English Bible study program that takes you through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book. I'm your host, Brenton Powers. I believe that every word of every verse of the Bible is inspired by God. I believe that the Word of God is useful for equipping the people of God for the work of God.
To the jungles, to the mountains, to the valleys and the sea, let's declare redemption story and its soon returning King. To the ends of all the earth and every prayer and in between, we must go.
We've been going through the letter of Jude, verse by verse.
We must go.
We've been encouraged to contend for the faith.
We must go.
That's the theme of this little letter. And so we've seen Jude's exhortation to contend for the faith in verse 4. And we've seen why we need to contend for the faith in verse 5 through 16. And last time we started learning how to contend for the faith. We saw the first step. That is, to remember the words of the apostles, the description in the scripture of false teachers, so we could recognize them. And today we will look at the second step in contending for the faith, that is, to keep ourselves in the love of God. Let's read Jude, verse 20 through 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. In these two verses, there are four verbs: building, praying, keep, and waiting. Did you notice that three of the verbs end with ing? Building, praying, and waiting. The fourth verb, the key verb here, is keep. Grammatically, the three verbs of what we are to be doing are the way to keep ourselves in the love of God. Because you may wonder, what does it mean to keep ourselves in the love of God? Does that mean that God doesn't always love us? No. God's love for us is unconditional. It's like the sun, it's shining all the time. But you're not always in a place where you can receive and benefit from the sunshine or from God's love. In the same way, Jude is telling us to keep ourselves in the place where God's love can reach us and bless us. And so let's look deeper at Jude verse 20 through 21 and learn the practical steps in how to contend for the faith and to keep ourselves in that place where God can bless us and use us for His glory. First, notice in Jude verse 20, he says, "But you, beloved," he's speaking to his audience directly, reminding them that he loves them. And he's going to give them a command. And before he gives them a command, he tells them that they're loved. That's important for us to know, because God's love is the reason why he gives us God's law. And we love him because he first loved us. So our response to these commands is not, "Well, I guess I got to do this because it was commanded." No, we want to do this because we are loved. He who loves fulfills the law. And then he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up." So notice, this is something we are to do for ourselves. We can't always rely on other people to build our faiths and we just sit there passively. You have an active role in building yourself up on your most holy faith. What does that phrase mean, building yourselves up on your most holy faith? Well, building, it's the word to build upon, like you lay bricks upon a foundation. And the foundation is the Lord Jesus himself. That's what our faith is to be built upon. We put our faith in Jesus, and then we grow in our faith in Jesus. Paul said it in his letters that the purpose of the church is for the edification of the body of Christ, that we may be built up. Let's look at that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitfulness. Rather, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The church is the best place for you to grow, and we each have a role to play in building others up and in building ourselves up. And so to keep yourselves in that place where God's love will reach you and bless you, we need to be gathering together as a church, building one another up in our most holy faith. And he calls it your most holy faith. Is it your faith? Does this Christian faith belong to you? Have you made it your own? Or is it your parents' faith and you're just sort of in the church? You need to take ownership of it, that this is your faith. And it's the most holy faith. It's the only holy faith. When we're talking about religion, Christianity is the only true faith. Other religions like Islam and Buddhism and Hare Krishnas, those are false faiths. But the most holy faith, the faith that belongs to God, is the faith that Jesus taught and the apostles taught and that we have written down in the Bible. So this is your faith. And then Jude says in verse 20, and praying in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? Well, it means several things. If you come from a Pentecostal background, first you would think of maybe praying in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. Yes, that is one of the ways that you can pray in the Holy Spirit. But Jude here doesn't mention tongues. Besides speaking in another language where our spirit is praying and our mind is unfruitful, we can also pray in the Holy Spirit with our mind. He says praying. When we know what praying is, it's speaking to God, making our requests to God. But how do we pray in the Holy Spirit? As Paul said, we should be led by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Remember, we talked last week about who has the Holy Spirit. It's born-again Christians. They have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And by the Holy Spirit, we cry out to the Father, Abba, Father. So Romans chapter 8, it talks about the freedom of the Spirit and walking according to the Spirit and living according to the Spirit, setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And he says in verse 23, and not only this creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And so we see a lot of the working of the Holy Spirit in our normal, practical, daily lives, working and creating godly desires in us and helping us in our relationship with God. And so prayer is the same way. We shouldn't pray just by the power of our flesh. We should pray by the power of the Spirit. We shouldn't pray according to our desires, but according to the desires of the Spirit. Praying in tongues is one way to pray in the Spirit. Also, praying with your mind according to Scripture is another way of praying according to the Spirit, as the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so that's one way to keep yourself in the love of God, by praying continually. It's not just one-time prayer. It's praying in the Holy Spirit. And then in Jude verse 21, he goes on to say, keep yourselves in the love of God. This is the imperative. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now, nothing can snatch us away from God's love. As Romans 8 goes on to say, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Romans 8:37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So Jude is not speaking about keep yourselves from being separated from the love of God. He says keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep abiding in his love. As Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and abide in my love. John 15:7 and following. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name it may be given to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So abide in his love, continue meditating on it and obeying the Lord, because that's what shows your love for him and that you've received his love for you. So how are we to keep ourselves in that place where God's love can reach us and bless us? The other way is by waiting for something. And Jude goes on to say in verse 21, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Abide in him, waiting for the reward that our faith brings us. The mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. You know, that's the reward of our faith, is having eternal life with Jesus. God counts our faith as righteousness. So if we believe in Jesus, we trust that he died for our sins, he gives us mercy through the gospel. He doesn't give us the punishment and the judgment we deserve. He took the judgment and the punishment that we deserve. But he can now give us his mercy, which means his compassion and his forgiveness. It includes saving us from everything bad that we deserve, from hell, from our sin, from death. We overcome death and we get eternal life. You know, that's what makes the Christian life worth it. Our Lord Jesus Christ leads us to eternal life. And there is no one else that can lead you to eternal life. So I encourage you today, stay on that narrow path. Jesus said, broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many go that way. But narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and few there are that find it. So not only do you need to enter through the narrow gate, but you need to stay on the narrow path. Keep yourselves in the love of God. He's holding you in his hand. You just need to abide in him, not rebel. Just surrender and let him make you what he wants you to be. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's how we are to contend for the faith for ourselves. Next week, we'll learn how to contend for the faith regarding others. What do we do concerning those who are going the wrong direction, but they're professing to be Christians? How do we rescue them? Well, Jude will tell us that in Jude verse 22 and 23. And then we're getting close to the end of the book. Jude ends with a great doxology, which we will study in 2 weeks. So may God bless you and thank you for listening.
We must go. Go to the jungles, to the mountains, to the valleys and the sea. Let's declare redemption story and its in returning king. To the ends of all the earth and everywhere and in between, we must go.
Thank you for listening to Verse by Verse. I'm Brenton Powers, pastor of Calvary, Latvia. Our homepage is www.calvary.lv. calvary.lv. Our Latvian webpage is www.bibelesstudijas.lv. Please tune in next week as we continue to study God's Word verse by verse.